Well, friends, I want to thank you for coming to church today. With, as Gord was saying, with all that's going on in the world, it is so good to worship Jesus. And I think in light of the times that we're living in, I was just feeling the weight of it as I was sitting here up front, that it's just so important to look to the Lord. He is good, and He will renew you as you need. You know, it was a number of years ago. I'm not going to tell you how many because I'm getting to the point in my life where numbers are becoming less important. But it was a number of years ago that I was in Sunday school myself on a morning much like this one. It was a cold day. I remember that. But we had been dismissed to go to Sunday school in Northwest Calgary. Our church was a brand new church plant that we'd been a part of, or that my parents are still a part of. And we'd been dismissed to Sunday school, and so we as kids ran out of the room. We were meeting in a school at the time, and we ran into another room, and there we sat down with our Sunday school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Jantz, and as we sat down, we were excited to be together. She was an amazing teacher. And to get us going, she asked us this question. If you could ask God for anything in the world today, anything in the world, what would you love to ask Him for? And immediately we started to blurt out answers. Somebody said, I want $1 million. And someone else was like, I want a mansion. Another kid said, a friend of mine, Jeremy, he said, I want a Lamborghini Countach. And then hearing our answers, Mrs. Jantz smiled and she looked and she said, well, let me tell you about a story about a man who had all of that and more. And she opened the Bible to 1 Kings chapter 3 and told us the story of Solomon. Solomon had had made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had married his daughter. And after their wedding, Solomon returned to Jerusalem, to the city that his father David had built, and there he would rule as king over the Israelite people. And as he did, being the good king that he was, his love for the Lord was evident because he walked according to the Lord's instructions. And one night after 1,000 burnt offerings were made, the Lord came to Solomon in a dream and he said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered and he said, when he woke, he said, you have shown kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. And now, Lord, my God, he said, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a child and do not know how to distinguish or how to carry out my duties. And so give your servant a wise heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. The scripture says the Lord is. And then one of my friends looked across the table at all his kids and he said, Solomon's the man. And it seems to me that much like that morning we were being guided to search out for wisdom in life, we've come to another point in history and in the world where wisdom seems to be the object and the subject of so much of what we need today. That when we're praying into our situations, yes, we're asking God to supply and we're asking God to provide and we're asking God to heal and all of these things, but it seems to me, at least in my prayer life these days, that when I'm looking at the situations that we faced, and even last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was stirred awake for a few different things, the object of my prayers towards the Lord was, Lord, would you just give me wisdom into these moments in these days? And it's not that I want the riches that Solomon received, although that, you know, a little bit of ease in that area would be nice too. I just want to live for the Lord in these moments, as I think so many of you do as well. And when it comes to the situations that we face, it seems to be that there is a constant need more and more in our personal lives and in the corporate lives of, or in the corporate lives of our society, that there is just this need to know how to step forward and to know how we can live in a way that honors God and knows God's blessings. And I think as I talk with many of you and as I talk with others in our community, one of the areas that consistently comes up that we need wisdom in is in our workplaces. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd love for you to open them to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to read from verses 10 to 31 this morning, and we're going to talk about how we can walk in the way of wisdom, and specifically in our workplaces. And I know for some of you, you said, well, work is the previous part of my life. I've moved past that. And I think the wisdom that we're going to learn from this passage here today extends to the places that we learn and the places that we play. The places that we spend our daytime hours in. And maybe that's your backyard. Maybe that is a club that you're a part of. But this wisdom talks about areas in our lives that we go to or that we spend significant time in and how we can live there and be a light for the Lord. So Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 10, I will read this for us and then we'll take some time to talk it with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, when he praises her, saying, many women have done noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring praise at the city gate. Wisdom seems to be reality was true when King Lemuel penned Proverbs 31. He discovered that there was this problem then, that the world needed wisdom. And so when he saw this woman of virtuous character, this wife, or when he saw the virtuous woman, though, this wife of noble character, what he identified in there was a characteristic that the world needed. An understanding that this is how we can live for the Lord. And he notes that this was exceptional. A wife of noble character, who can find? This was not the norm. It was the exception to the rule in the days that he lived. And probably the same is true today. This is a present issue that we work with. And yet it is something that we as Christians need to strive for in days that need much wisdom. The word noble here comes from the Hebrew word she'il. And it speaks towards a person who is strong, has ability, who is efficient, and brings value to the world around them. They're not just a person who is morally excellent, but they are strong in character and they're very capable at what they do. They have the ability to get things done right the first time. And because of this, they seem to stand out in a different sort of way. One of the things that I discovered this last week as I studied this passage and studied wisdom is that that this type of character is interconnected with a wise person. That what we see here in Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is the kind of person that we should strive to be, and it's connected to what becomes valuable to the world around this noble woman is the way that she lives her life. Seems to me that there's a big connection between wisdom and humility. And oftentimes in our culture, when we look to wise people, we look to the external factors. But what the Bible leads us towards is to say that when a person is wise, they are humble and they extend from themselves into the world. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And so when it comes to our workplaces, what we will discover is that wisdom is not something that we can ask for, but instead it's a way that we live because it's a different posture than what is normal. And what is normal about this is that this is something that we as Christians should be striving for, exactly the way that we are supposed to live. I remember another time a number of years ago, about 18 years ago, that I was tasked by my boss at that time, the lead pastor in our church in Penticton, to preach Proverbs 31. And it was Mother's Day. I'd been given the task, and back then in those days, I would write out my sermon, and then at the end of the week, I would take it home to my wife, Ralna, and I would say, would you mind looking at this sermon for me and give me some input? And so as she went over my manuscript, she looked up at me and she said this. She said, "You can't preach that message on Mother's Day." And I was confused. I said, "What do you mean?" The message that I'd written on Mother's Day was, as I looked at this and hadn't spent much time studying, the depths of it, what I discerned in my lack of wisdom was that this was a message about do more and try harder. And so I was going to tell the moms of our church that they needed to step up to the plate. Friends, it is a miracle that I'm in front of you today. I had totally missed the point of Proverbs 31. And sometimes I think that when we consider wisdom, the wise way to live in this world is to try harder and do better. But friends, that's not the way of Jesus. When we look at Proverbs 31 and when we understand what it means to be wise, the first thing we see is humility, and the second piece that we need to see is intentionality. It is that this woman of noble character, this virtuous lady, this servant of the Lord understood what it meant to intentionally serve and be with others, to intentionally live and do her work for the Lord, to intentionally bring people to the table and invite them into the deeper places, a place that we call the kingdom in the church, the kingdom of Jesus, and bless them there. And so when it comes to living and working, one of the realities that we need to appreciate in a fresh way, one of the things that we can push the reset button on in a me-first culture, is to understand first who we are intentionally working for. All of us, or many of us, have supervisors and managers in our lives. And some of them are really good. Some of them are really bad. But friends, what the scriptures lead us towards is to understand that we don't work for our bosses, at least not first. When we are intentionally wise, the place that we work, or the person that we work for first, is the Lord. It says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Listen to this. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. That is transformative. That changes the way that we come to our desks or our tables. It changes the way we step into our trucks. It changes the way we interact with our workplaces, or our schools, or our clubs, or our sports teams. When we work for the Lord, we assume a different sort of posture, and in doing so, we live, according to the scriptures, as wise people. The second thing that we can see here is that this woman of noble character, when she lived wisely, as I said before, she lived humbly, but she also lived beyond herself. She found ways to bring people in, to invite people to the table. She didn't just take care of her own needs. She took care of others. And we can see here this in verse 15. The author talks about providing food for her family and her women servants. And I believe that the blessing of that moment in that verse wasn't that she just gave food away. It was that she invited them in. She put food on the table. She invited them to sit with her. And she invited them into relationship. And she blessed them there. And the wisdom that would have come out of that is that it would have changed the workplace. It would have changed the experience. Think about this for a moment with me. How can you bring people to the table? How can you eat with somebody? How can you bless them and give to them and extend to them and be in broken relationship with them? I mean, it can happen for a little bit. But as Christians who are called to be agents of reconciliation and people who are called to be wise, people who are called to be intentional, how can you love somebody in that way and live in that brokenness? That's not of God. And yet when we intentionally serve the Lord, when we intentionally put him at the front of our workplaces and the work that we do, when we invite people in as this woman does, God starts to move in that place and he starts to bless in that place. And it becomes transformative to the environments that we work in. We see in verse 20 that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is blessing others, and she's intentionally inviting them in. And we see this over and over and over in verses 13 to 19. Intentionally wise work leads people to bring the joyful blessings of the Lord and the deeper connection that the Lord gives to us into even our workplaces. And it blesses them. Imagine how different our workplaces would be. As I said before, whether an office or a warehouse or driving around the country or even in our homes or our backyards or our schools or the dressing rooms, whatever the case might be. Imagine how transformative it would be if we intentionally blessed other people in Jesus' name. If we intentionally invited people in. If we intentionally asked people to come and sit at the table and then we bless them. I think it would restore relationships. It would increase productivity. It would bless people in Jesus' name. I think that there would be, that people would start to notice, our supervisors would start to notice that there was something different. And it would come as we intentionally brought people to the table and served them and blessed them in Jesus' name. And here's the benefit of that, I think. Number one is, I think that it would help us to earn favor in the places and the settings that we serve and that we live. It would help us to gain influence in those spaces. And not because we want to be powerful, because what the scripture invites us to is humility. But instead, in a place of influence, it would allow us to speak in, and it would allow us to have influence to shape the culture of those workplaces even more and see Jesus move in those workplaces, even if it's not overt. We could see Jesus move. We could see relationships heal. We could see productivity increase when we invite when possible to do so. I think this is transformative work. And I think the root of being wise in, or I think the practice of being wise in our workplaces comes in the humility and then the intentionality as we invite people in. Well, I love where this passage starts to end here in verse 20. And I said it before, I'll say it again. It says this, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And it seems to me that as I read the final verses of this text, and as I've read different commentator writers this past week, that the way of wisdom when it comes to our workplaces is one where we have intentionally sought after opportunities to build God's kingdom and not just make our workplaces separate entities of our lives. Our workplaces are not places we escape to. Instead, they're places that we live into the calling of God, where we can become His ambassadors, where we can become messengers and workers and ones who represent God's kingdom. Wise living allows us to operate like our workplaces are kingdom outposts, where we intentionally seek out opportunities to make Jesus famous and point people towards Him. When verse 20 refers to the opening, to this woman who opens her arms to the poor, the Hebrew writer here uses the word paras, which speaks towards the opportunity to love and to serve others. It gives to others without grumbling. It helps others solve a problem. It helps spread kindness. It helps radiates a sincere heart. And what's accomplished in doing this is that it points people towards Jesus. And similarly to before, it intentionally watches for opportunities to build God's kingdom and bring people to Him. This is the essence, friends, of our chaplaincy ministries here at the church. This is what it's all about. We work or we go to places where God has invited us and called us to live, and we intentionally live as Christ's ambassadors. And as we do so, we deliberately and intentionally point people towards the Almighty and the all-living God. We help people, we bless people, we laugh with people, we serve with people, we speak wisdom into people's lives, we mourn with people, we cry with people, we celebrate with people, all for the glory of God and the joy of those who are in our circles. We live with our hands extended, believing that as we do, the time will come when we will have the opportunity to invite people into the deeper places of life and with Jesus. And lead them to find hope and transformation and courage and joy in a time that seems to be providing anything but. And the truth is that while this is true of the places that God has us working, the same thing is true of the places where we learn and the places where we live and the places where we play. We have opportunities to live as Christ's ambassadors. And as we do, we will discover that we will become outposts for God in our workplaces. In a sense, we are all chaplains living across this city. And when we live wisely and when we live intentionally, we will discover that we have impact And it will change our experiences as we go to work every day. When I said before that I think this is something that our world desperately needs, I started to learn these lessons in Penticton. When we lived there 11 and a half years ago, I frequently would go for coffee with a dear friend who was a good friend of mine. And as we would sit down at Starbucks in Cherry Lane Mall, I can remember fondly the conversations we would have about living for God's kingdom in the spaces and places where God had planted us. And I remember him teaching me to watch for the opportunities. And so it started with this. We would start to pray. And we would walk up and down the streets of Penticton, or we would walk through the church, or he got me onto chaplaincy there as the chaplain for the RCMP. And we would start to drive around and ask God to open doors and provide opportunities. And after that, it started to move into stepping into those areas. So I remember in the early days of learning how to live into this way of living, of learning to live wise, learning just to show up in people's lives and pray that God would open doors. And so back in the day, I really wanted to reach my neighbors. I still do. But back then I was learning this and I really wanted to reach my neighbors. And some of you will remember the story of standing on my front lawn and watering my grass. And I would just loiter for like an hour watering my grass. And I didn't need to. We had irrigation, underground sprinklers. But I would water the grass and hope that somebody would show up. And I'd be praying that God would open doors. And all of a sudden, the neighbors started coming around. And I didn't know what to say. And so I just started with my awkward conversations. Hey, I love what you're doing with your grass. I love what you've done with your yard. Oh, what kind of plant is that? I started to build relationship and intentionally spend time with these folks to get to know them and earn the opportunity to speak into their lives. And then as started to intentionally live into the spaces where we worked and we live and we played, started to get involved in the school. As I got to know the principal there, I would spend time with Kelly and Mr. Jones was an amazing man. And I remember he had some stuff come up in his life and I took the risk one day. I said, Kelly, would you mind if I pray into that for you? Or pray about that for you? And he let me. And then shortly after, something came up at the school. They wanted to put on something for the kids and it just felt wrong. And I looked at another pastor who's at parents' council that night and he looked at me and he was doing this and I knew I needed to speak up. And so I went to Kelly and I said, I know you guys want to do this for the kids, but it just doesn't feel right. And he listened. And it seems to me that time and time again, friends, when we live with intentionality, when we live with humility, when we play the long game, when we consider ourselves as ambassadors and representatives in kingdom outposts, one of the things that we will discover in living wisely is not only the joy that comes in going to work and showing up to the places and spaces God has called us, but the adventure that God releases us into as we live out our faith for him. This passage ends with the blessing of a family as they consider this wife of noble character and the honor that is extended to her. And I'm not saying we're deserving of honor, but what I am saying is that we will find blessing. I'm not saying that things will get easier, but I'm saying that things will become joy-filled. I'm not saying that the world is going to change, but maybe even in your little workplace, when you live with wisdom and when you walk in the way of wisdom, somebody will meet Jesus. Somebody will look to the Lord. Somebody will see the way that you've lived your life and say, I got to know where that's rooted out of, or I got to know what that's all about, and ask for the opportunity to know more about who Jesus is. This is what wise living looks like. Living differently, living intentionally, living with a kingdom mindset, living open-handed, knowing that God will bring you and others to his joy-filled table and help you to discover more, not just in life, but in the faith. That to me sounds like an exciting way to live. And that to me sounds a lot better than the way that so many of us are living here today. That to me sounds like an opportunity. And what will lead us as a church to be a vibrant church for the city that needs Jesus. And I wonder today if this is the way that the Lord is prompting you. is when you showed up to church this morning, maybe you felt the weight on your shoulder. Maybe you were feeling discouraged because the weekend's almost done. And yet when you showed up to church, God says, I want you to push reset. I want you to refresh. I want you to try again. I want you to walk in the way of wisdom. Would you pray with me? And the worship team's going to come for our last song. Lord God, as we look at this world today, there is so much going on that is concerning. And God, even within our workplaces, we see that the world has become a hard place. They're broken. They're woke. They are far from you. And yet, God, as your kids and as your ambassadors, you have invited us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in a world that desperately needs him, that desperately needs you. And I pray that today, Lord Jesus, that as we look at our workplaces, we would wisely start to look at them differently. We would see the opportunities. We would see the moments. That you'd give us courage, Lord Jesus, to step up and to step into the spaces and the places you've called us to serve. And in doing so, Lord Jesus, that we would have the blessing and opportunity to invite people to the table, to share the love of Jesus, to help people find light in the darkness and hope in the storm. And so, God, release us, anoint us, and appoint us for moments even starting tomorrow, where we can walk in the way of wisdom. We can shine a light for you. We can be the salt that this world needs. God, in a time when it seems like the world is on the cusp of stepping into war and falling apart, it's in moments like these where you deliver, where you restore, where you refresh and you reset, and you bring people to yourself. And so bring revival into these days, Lord, we pray. Bring hope into these moments. Let us run with our eyes fixed on you. And help us to embrace the call. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Help us to walk wisely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.